a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled on a... Do we call it Thanksgiving Eve, Scott? Is that what this holiday is that we're celebrating? This unofficial holiday?
Well, some people, it's like Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah, it's like you can have Thanksgiving on Wednesday. It's like, I don't know, the Black Wednesday of Thanksgiving
I keep telling people it's Friday.
Just pushing it back and
back. It feels like Friday. You know that weird feeling when you're kind of pushing yourself into that strange moment of... wondering if you're at the weekend yet. I thought it was
like,
payday today, man.
Like,
oh, no,
Saturday
we're still a few days away. So that's the deal, is that everybody looks at this time of year, and everybody's hitting the coast button about right now. People are walking out of their offices a few hours early if they haven't already left. So this is the time for us to be able to take advantage. Unrivaled is Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former Thanksgiving Day quarterback,
which was so fun, by the way.
Glorious days.
There was nothing better than playing on Thanksgiving.
You had some amazing Thanksgiving Day games. I think the best one of all was that 1995 game, which we will get into. And because Thanksgiving gives us this opportunity to find all of these fun lists, and when I say fun, when Scott Mitchell is mad about it, the fact that we're bringing up these lists. And fights against us doing these lists. Now, look at that sigh. See, that's the thing, is that this is why I love doing this. All right. We're going to jump in, though. We're going to do some Thanksgiving football stories because NFL and the Detroit Lions are synonymous with Thanksgiving. So we'll start right there with some of the great moments of Thanksgiving's past. It's the cut right here at the top of the show. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer.
Can we just skip the list? I'll go to Wasatch Medical if I don't have to do the list, okay?
Which ones?
You know what list.
Which
and
list?
I don't want to do this list.
I want to bring up the list because
I was
disagree.
Having such a nice festive...
I disagree with the list, too. So I just there. And I know you don't want us to bring it up, but I thought it was hilarious.
Do you
and I
know
you
what it's like to have your name eighth on the list? Do you know what that's like, Alex? Do you have any idea how humiliating
we'll get to it.
And annoying? And like, because I want to scream. I want to scream onto the screen.
Yeah.
And the list.
I get you.
There's no one to scream to.
Listen, here's the deal.
First, tired I want to defending myself.
I want to tell people
Sick
I'll defend you too. I'll defend you too.
Hate these people.
Scott had some amazing days in his career on Thanksgiving. And apparently it hasn't sunk in enough with some of the writers out there across America. So, first I want to tell you where we're at. We're at the General RV here at Point of the Mountain. Now, what are we doing? It's the end of our tour de fans, which all year long we've been repping the General RV brand and getting across the state of Utah. It's been an amazing year of college football here in the state of Utah. And I think we can all agree exceeding expectations for what we thought was going to happen this year, basically for all of the teams on there. So, but General RV, this is where we're at. We've started this thing here at the General RV dealership in Draper, and that's where we're going to end the tour to fans now that we're getting to the end of the college football season. The way we're going to celebrate is we've got a pair of Jazz tickets that you can enter to win if you come in and put your name in the box. These are not just a pair of Jazz tickets, Scott.
No, they're not, Alex.
These are third row, not third row upper bowl.
Yes.
This is – you are going to be spat upon by some of the members of the Utah Jazz.
From the court up, it's like one, two, three.
Wait, what's three again?
One, two, three.
All right, perfect. Yes. I was just wondering because – if this is the one that you're wearing the placard, and when you see the price of the ticket on the placard, you kind of feel bad. But just for a second, because if you win them, you don't have to feel bad at all. So you come in, put your name in the box, you can get those, enter to win those tickets. And I'll just tell you right now, we were doing this on KSL. We only have a handful of these tickets, or people who put their name in this for this thing. A high possibility for you to be able to come in and try to win these tickets. Just sign up here at the General RV in Draper and come say hi. This is how much we belong a part of this crew here, too. They have us in a cubicle like we're sales guys. This is like
we've actually sold a couple of RVs.
I could probably answer a few questions. I might have some commission money coming my way.
We can totally sell.
So before we get into all of the show, we've got so many things to do. USC play-by-play voice Pete Arbogast is going to join us in the next segment here. We're going to talk some BYU, USC, and just kind of I want to get the vibe on how weird of a season it's been for SC, how strange of a year it's been, and locking that weird year out with BYU at home at the Coliseum. Although their season's not over because they still have to play that Cal game.
I can get BYU in the top 10.
See, that's it. Scott came into the
By the end
General
of the
RV.
Season, I can get
Tell
it
you
in
what
the
I'm going to do for you. Scott pulls out his book like he's Gordy Chiesa, and he's got these diagrams of how to get BYU in the New Year's Six.
And it's legit.
And I think you might have an argument there.
It's legit.
I'm just telling low self-esteem BYU fan out there, don't get your hopes up, because I just think that the Independence Bowl might just end up having to be the thing this year. Wait till you get to the Big 12. Things might change, but, man – let's start off first, though, on Thanksgiving. When I was growing up, I watched these games religiously. You have to have that game on. It's a perfect way to deflect any sort of family conversation that you want to avoid on Thanksgiving Day. And, Scott, in 1995, when I was 14 years old, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, Warren Moon and Scott Mitchell are basically just having a flame-throwing contest. It was... you guys got up early. I think it was 21 to 7, or it was maybe 21-3 right off the bat. You guys were up early. They come back. Then it's back and forth into the fourth quarter. You guys end up winning 44-38. How many yards did you throw for that day?
410.
Barry Sanders ran for 130, but I think that they got the numbers inverted on ESPN. They act like Barry Sanders was the only part of that offense, because it was that one long run that they just showed
at
on SportsCenter, at the end of the game. Yeah. So
that's how it works.
Scott throws for 410 yards. How many touchdowns?
Five touchdowns. They took one back.
Okay, so we call that four in the business.
Well, no, because the refs screwed up. Right?
All the refs messed it
up.
I got it. So
and when you get older like I am. Yeah. You count those.
You count.
I don't care. It's like the ref.
So you have more like 200 career touchdowns instead of the 100.
At least.
I got you.
At least.
I got you.
I mean, tons. Tons of.
How many picks did you throw that day? Was it like a four touchdown, three pick?
I actually
pick
had
day?
An interception.
You did have one pick. That's a pretty good ratio, though. So you guys win with over 550 yards of total offense. You guys win that game 44-38. Was that a game that, to me, it always seemed weird because these NFL teams, a game on a Thursday seems like it would disrupt everything that you do.
It was the best time of year to be playing. Like it's such a great tradition to start with, and we relished it. I mean, we really did, because we were always going to be at home, and there were two games, Cowboys and the Lions, so everybody was watching you, and of course they weren't at the same time, so the whole nation was watching. I mean, everyone, even people that don't really watch football, sit down and watch it, on Thanksgiving, because it's just one of those things. It was a massive advantage for us. Because we were home, it was a short week, and it's hard to prepare for. Your body is certainly not completely repaired and ready to kind of take the pounding that you would take. But, so was the other team. So it was kind of balanced out. And we always played very well on Thanksgiving. And then you had like this 10-day break, and it was just like this coming up for air kind of feeling in the end of the season that just kind of propelled you through. And it was – at least in my time in Detroit, it was one of those things. So you that liked just really, it? It wasn't oh, in the way. Loved it. Loved playing on Thanksgiving. It was just such a tremendous. And we only lost one game. And that's the time that I went into the bathroom and had a discussion with four gentlemen.
Oh.
And we were going to get into a fight. So all these great memories.
During the game? Like
no, it was, after the game. No, there were times I wanted to go during the game, but, you know.
Well, you know, the whole Baker Mayfield thing keeps coming up to me this week when he said, yeah, I don't like, you know, the fans are booing him. And he goes, yeah, those are bad fans. The fans booing me are the ones, this is what he said yesterday about it. The fans booing me are probably the ones who are also not being quiet when we're on offense. And I thought, oh, man, this is not – you're not ingratiating yourself to the fan base here. When you start kind of fighting with your fan base, which is something that I think you got into a little bit too during your time in
Detroit. No, I've tried to answer the question very thoughtful and thorough.
Because they asked my about
answer,
the booing question.
Yes, and my answer was, look, I understand the fans are like – they're passionate. Like they – you know, I get it.
You're giving the PR answer. Yeah. Everything's going great.
You know, there's probably – right. But there's probably times that, like, my family was probably leading the charge. Like, Scott, you're stinking it up here.
Oh, see, yeah.
You know, so I don't mind if they boo when you do poorly. Here's when it just is hard. When they boo you when you get introduced. Like, you haven't even done anything yet. I just ran out of the tunnel. My uniform is clean. Okay. I'm not even sweating yet, and you're already booing.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
And you're
people.
The home crowd. And that's,
and
home
that's
crowd.
At home. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you'd get more reception at a away crowd. So what happens, and the media is very good at this because we're now part of the media, is they want their soundbite, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm like, the fans are passionate. And I go, really? Probably the people that are booing are probably people that are drunk, right? and so I go, what do I care what a bunch of drunk fans think?
There you go.
So what do they play? Out of all of that, they go, hey, Scott, how do you feel about the fans booing you? And I'm like,
what do I care
about a bunch of drunk fans booing me? Right? And so I'm like, so you can never win in that situation.
Is that the beginning of the end then?
You can, like, no, it's just, whatever. It's just stupid. It's all stupid.
Now there,
but it's hard. I don't care. Yeah. You're human, right? We all want to be loved. We all want to be loved. We don't want to be like booed. Who wants that?
Why is it that?
And you try to act like, man, this doesn't bother me. And it's like, it bothered the heck out of me.
But why are the Detroit Lions? The Detroit Lions are the ones that every Thanksgiving play at home. Every Thanksgiving they're on TV. The Cowboys play. I don't know if it's every Thanksgiving.
You know how? Yeah, they do. Cowboys play every.
But so you guys and the Lions played every year.
But then,
now they've
added a third game,
which is what, the night game.
It's the night game, and that's a rotational game.
Yeah. So,
but let me get back to the booing, okay? And the Detroit Lions fans. Let me just tell you about the whole thing.
Here, yeah.
There are some people in the world that just want to be miserable. They always want to complain. They always want to be the woe is me. We never win. And they just have that mindset. And I'm telling you,
it's the guy who's on the freeway who's looking for someone to flip off.
Completely.
They have no chill mode, right?
No.
It's just like we can't. And it's not an exciting thing. It's not a positive vibe. It's the negative vibe, people. They work off of the negative
vibes. Sucks the life
vibes.
Out of everything. Yeah. And it's not based in reality either. Like, it's all on emotion. It's just like, I don't care. The world, is a miserable place, and and that's Detroit Lions fans.
So you're 3-1 as a quarterback for the Lions
on Thanksgiving. Yes.
One
loss was when I chased.
That's
people
when you got
in,
grumpy at yeah, those fans. So yeah. There was this weird list. I say weird because it's actually a bad list.
And it's a dumb list.
It's a terrible list.
And I've
read
the list.
I'll tell you why. I'll roll it out for you. And it basically says. Ranking the Thanksgiving quarterbacks for the Detroit Lions. And I was like, oh, perfect, because Scott had some amazing years.
Like you would say how you did on Thanksgiving, right?
That's, I knew that Matthew Stafford was going to be number one because he's just played so long at Detroit.
Yeah.
He played there for so long. And he has the most passing yards of all time.
I had all these records till that stupid Stafford came along.
Oh, by the way, that stupid Stafford. By the way, most sacks all time on a Thanksgiving day in a career? BYU's former Ziggy Ansah.
Oh.
Surprising. 9 sacks in his career.
That's actually
I feel like that's probably some of the few days he's been healthy and performed well is on Thanksgiving. He has the record for most sacks in a career on Thanksgiving Day. Dave Craig is number 2. I have a I know. It said, look, subbing in for Scott Mitchell, Craig went 20
for 25. He played half of one year.
He played half of one year.
And had a pretty good half of
the
one.
And you guys won that game.
Yeah.
But it's wild. Dante Culpepper is listed number three. Now, he played, I don't know, but he was a three-time Pro Bowler. He made five starts during the Lions' winless 2008 season. He was 0-10 as a starter in those two seasons, and he's number three on the list.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on here. Number four on the list.
It's a dumb list.
When they say ranking the quarterbacks, the Thanksgiving quarterbacks, I think what they're doing is saying, here are the guys who played on Thanksgiving for the Lions. Let's rate their whole career. And even then, that's wild. So,
yeah.
Stafford, blah, 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 go through. Kitna's listed at number five, okay? Kitna's listed at number five. And again.
And everyone out there listening right now goes, who's Kitna?
Hey, he's exactly. John Kitna. Yeah. Central Washington University product. Joe Ferguson, number six. That's one that I was like, never heard of him.
Yeah.
Number seven was Scott Mitchell.
Oh, hey, what do you know?
Who threw for 4,338 yards and 32 touchdowns in 1995, including that 410-yard performance. I mean, it was insane that they had the – now, you're ahead of Gus Frerotte. You're ahead of Rodney Peete.
Oh, hey.
You're ahead of Eric Hipple and Bill Munson and Charlie Batch and Joe – hey, you're even ahead of Joe Harrington. So there you go.
What do you know?
You made the top 10 out of their 30 people or list.
Can I get back to the fans booing?
Yeah, I want to hear more about this.
So, but here's the thing about Detroit Lions fans.
Mm-hmm.
They would still show up. Like, even today, I've gone back to
I'm telling
to
you, when you show up with a paper bag on your head.
And they all just show up.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, it's a weird attitude to have of I'm showing up to the game with a paper bag so that I can show my displeasure with the team that I root for. It's the weirdest thing because you show up ready to be negative about the team that you're cheering for. Because that's part of that. There's no lovable part of the loser part of teams who go 0-16. And it's just a wild attitude to have, so I get it.
Let me tell you what was really cool about doing it, though.
Yeah.
There was just something about a tradition. And to be a part of a tradition, it didn't matter if the fans booed, whatever. The Lions always played on Thanksgiving, and it was great. And you love to be a part of that. And it wasn't just an NFL thing. It was almost like a thing in the country, you know, where people play their turkey bowl, they have their turkey, they watch football. It's just kind of it's just a thing that most Americans do. And to be a part of something that's like Americana is a really cool thing. And it wasn't lost on me in the moment. Like, it was like, and I really appreciated in my life and in my time of saying, hey, I was a part of this. I was really a part of it, and you were aware of it. When you were playing, you were really aware of it. But let me tell you the best part. You want to know what the best part? And not that isn't the best part, because that's a pretty
cool part.
It's the turkey leg.
Yeah.
It is just – because you look at it and you go, that's disgusting.
So you won the turkey leg one year.
Yes.
And it was that five-touchdown or four-and-a-half-touchdown performance against Warren Moon's Vikings team. It was one of those years where they had the five legs, you know, the five or six legs coming off of that thing. Because they gave one, I think, to you, to Herman Moore,
to
Brett Perriman. Yeah. Barry Sanders got one. Yeah. But you say that the turkey leg that John Madden used to hand out, I used to look at it and go, there's no way you want to touch that thing.
I got more than one turkey leg.
Every food service person watching that thing is going, that thing is chock full of salmonella. But you said it was good.
No. Because you think it's a prop. You think
it looks like a prop? Yes.
It totally, and it really, and it's legitimate. It's a legitimate John Madden. They prepared it. It was a legitimate.
John Madden
thing.
Made it. You think he brined himself in his RV?
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's sat in the blue tank.
You know,
he's kind of a little bit
of a foodie kind of person.
He is. And but by that, do you mean he's a guy who eats a lot of food?
Well, of course. Well, that's my version of John Madden.
He drove around everywhere.
He's a football coach. I mean, how foodie can he get?
He drove around everywhere. So there's part of that of kind of being on the road and
knowing
where to eat.
That's a different dude, right?
I just, you know, when I watch these games, Thanksgiving and watching those NFL games, watching the Lions over the years, watching the Cowboys, I will tell you, here's one of my – but so I remember very clearly that game. I also remember very clearly – the Leon Lett,
oh yeah,
kick against the kicking the blocked field goal and giving the Dolphins an extra shot to win that game, and because I was living in Texas at the moment, and my dad, because we had no family around,
right,
so we're my mom's family was gone.
So you'd be 12 at this time.
So I was 12 at that time. Yeah. So I go We are at. Are you ready for this? This is where we at. Where we were at for Thanksgiving. We were in San Antonio because my dad was like, "We're getting out of town. We don't have family around. We're going to get out of town." We'd go to Galveston. We'd go down Corpus Christi, something like that. This year we were in San Antonio, Texas, and I was at my my dad and mom were like, "We got to just pull over and get Thanksgiving meal somewhere." We went to an Outback Steakhouse, okay?
For Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving, where the Cowboy game was on, because that was kind of part of the thing. You got to have the Cowboy game on. So we're watching the Cowboy game, and I see Leon Lett. First of all, there's snow on the ground. And, well, it's not snow. In Texas, they call it sleet.
Yes.
Right? It's that, like, small bits of, like, frozen rain, basically.
It was cold. I will just tell you, it was very cold.
And that roof at Texas Stadium is funny because it's
open.
Because
there's a little hole.
There's a little hole, but the entire field was
covered. But that hole was, yeah, it was pretty dramatic, the whole thing.
Football on Thanksgiving, I've known, like, playing in your own local turkey bowl is amazing. Watching football all day is amazing. Thanksgiving is something unlike any of the other holidays. Christmas has its own thing, but Thanksgiving is good because there's nothing you really have to do. You have to eat a ton of food, and the TV's got to be on for you to watch football. That's kind of it. At Christmas, it's like you got to go through the motions with your in-laws or with your outlaws or with whomever, and it's Thanksgiving, in my opinion, the eating food part, the watching the game part, and not having to feel as much pressure of giving people gifts, so you don't really like that much, exceeds Christmas in many ways.
So that game, Miami and Dallas.
Yes. You were hurt for that one.
Yeah, I didn't play in that game. We were 9-2. We won that game 9-2, best record in the NFL. We end up the season 9-7.
No.
Did you make the playoffs? We have 5 games left. We only have to win one just to make the playoffs.
No.
3 of the 5 are at home.
How'd it go?
We lost all 5.
You pulled the Lions move.
Yeah.
That is wild.
And you would have thought, I mean, that was such a fun team.
That must be one of the biggest
meltdowns. When you saw Keith Byers where he's doing the Snow Angels after he scored the touchdown, that was just a great group of guys. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Those guys were just amazing. And it was just it just shows you how precarious, I guess those moments are.
Who played in that game then for the Dolphins? Was it Doug Peterson?
No, it was Doug Peterson was the holder. So Doug ended up being the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So they had to go third string that game. Who was it?
No, Doug was third string.
Oh, my heavens.
And he just wasn't very good.
Oh, boy.
So he was the practice squad quarterback.
Sure.
So they elevated him to holder, and Steve DeBerg.
Oh, DeBerg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great orange man.
Yeah, Steve DeBerg.
The permatan.
Yeah.
Steve DeBerg. All right, we're going to take a break here. We've got more to go on the program. I just love being regaled by some of these insane stories. Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.